Good morning. It's 6:15 a.m. on July 16th. 6:15, 7:16, 12. Hike! Anyway, yeah, I just got done with my recording for my class and realized that I had punched the lock button, which shuts off everything that's running, with the exception of my Endomondo tracker. So, a 12-minute talk about no significant difference got clipped. Yeah, I'll have to redo it. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking about today. I'm also thinking about getting underway early enough this morning that I'm actually talking to you at 6:15 instead of 6:30 or 6:35 or 6:40. I like this hour better. I'm going to try to get out here sooner. The image should show the sun not quite as high. It's right at that cusp of the year where the sun on the horizon at daybreak, which is my favorite time to be walking. So it'll work out. Two more weeks of class, only one more week of podcasts. Get through this week of podcasting and then it's basically up to them for the last week. Most of them will muddle along. It'll be over. So, yeah, yesterday I started thinking about writing something else or opening up an old project, like someone reminded me this morning. I saw the note about Cape Grace. It's like, oh yeah, Cape Grace. That's thank you for reminding me. I think that's one I need to keep on my horizon. It's not front and it wasn't front and center, but it has been pushed back where it needs to be. So thank you. That's important to keep me on track. But I did go back into Zephyr's Call. And the first 150 pages or so are pretty solid. I'm really quite happy with what's there. And so I started working on some of the later pieces, the shipboard stuff, to try to see if there was something there that I needed to do or wanted to do that was going to be significant to the story. And it, as I'm taking the story apart, it occurs to me that there's a big showdown, there's a big do, there's a confrontation of sorts. But there's no resolution of a couple of these storylines. And it was like, which really helps me a great deal, because that tells me what's more, you know, more about what's going to happen in the next book, because some of these storylines need to be explored a little more. There's a mystery about Rebecca's mother that we haven't really gotten into, and there's the problem with some insurance companies and lost ships. And even in Ravenwood they talked about how this sort of extortion was common, even accepted amongst the seafaring folk. So there's stuff there to work with for the next book. And I've embroidered in a few little details, punched them into the storyline of Zephyr's Call, which is basically about Tanith getting on board ship and getting across to North Haven, one step closer to Lammas Wood and the hermit who waits her there. So yeah, that was it was good. It was fun to go back through. I didn't really find places where adding to or taking out would make the story either tighter or richer. There's a lot of stuff I can add, but it doesn't contribute to this story. It doesn't make this story stronger. And so I didn't add it. And maybe I'm misguided here, but maybe I'm right. Let's see. Ah. So yeah, the topic, excuse me, yawn. This topic for today, for yesterday actually, for the class was no significant difference research, sometimes called media comparison studies. And that's a whole class of research that's been tried over the decades to try to determine if some mode is more effective for instruction than others. And so, for example, one of the early ones had to do with film and whether film was more effective than lecture in instruction. And what they found was no significant difference between the two. And they did this with about every new technology that's come down the pike. And at best, what they found was no significant difference. And then the remaining studies were, you know, evenly distributed, and I use that term advisedly, because it means something that I didn't really mean by saying evenly distributed. Equally distributed would probably be more appropriate, since there are only two of them, better than or less than. So the problem is, somebody discovered the logic problem, and that somebody was a man named Clark. Robert Clark, Richard Clark. But he determined the logical flaw in trying to run these studies, and that's that his analogy was the truck. And it really doesn't matter what kind of truck you put your groceries on. When they're delivered, they still have the same nutritional value. Now, the real question is whether or not you have a truck. Having a truck or not having a truck means who can get your groceries, who can find the food. So that's an interesting question by itself. But is a Volvo lorry more effective than a Ford pickup? And the idea is they may carry different amounts, but the value of them on delivery hasn't changed by the nature of the vehicle that carries them. So that's the original analogy. And I actually had the good fortune to talk at length with one of the people who was around when that whole debate was going on. And one of the grand old men of the field, Robert Hynek, who lives down in Colorado Springs. He came up and did a day-long visit with us once when I was in my master's program. And his take was that Clark was right up to a point, but he really neglected the idea of having a truck. That was significant. And that on occasion, it's important to be able to deliver a lot quickly. So having a bigger truck sometimes makes a difference. But he did agree that the nutritive value, the food inside the truck, didn't change. And it didn't matter if it was Meals on Wheels or a semi-trailer. It didn't matter. So this no significant difference research has been going on for decades. And there was even one, and every time I see it, I laugh. National Science Foundation put out a call for a research study proposal to examine the efficacy of online instruction. And in the detail, it specifically called out the efficacy of online instruction over classroom-based learning, classroom-based instruction. And of course, I read that and said, you know, somebody's going to make get $1 million. It was actually, it was like $10 million from the government to do a media comparison study to determine that there's no significant difference. And we can tell them that there's no significant difference right now, just based on the logic of the question. And yet, the National Science Foundation put out that call for proposal. And he did it like 3 times. I was quite shocked that no one stepped up to take the easy, low-hanging fruit money. But part of the problem was they needed to expend the $10 million on doing pointless research, and the requirement in terms of infrastructure was extensive. So the $10 million really wasn't going to cover the costs of doing the meaningless research, I think. So I'm not sure if it ever got funded, or if somebody finally took the National Science Foundation member who was pushing it aside to say, you know, this really is kind of a dumb question. Compared to all the other dumb questions, this one was really dumb because we didn't need to do $10 million worth of research to answer it. We already had the answer. It's just that it wasn't the answer that they wanted. So they tried to see if they could get some better answers. And the answer to that question is no. The logic of it is largely irrefutable if you rephrase it in the context of what's more effective, a book or a movie. Because that's the nature of the question. That's the question. You don't get to refine that question. You don't get to say effective how. You don't get to say, you might be able to say something along the lines of what's more effective at transmitting the core message or at making the receiver of the message understand what's more effective that way. But what you don't get to say is which one of these, you know, it's basically which one of these works better. And it becomes really, really quite clear what the issue is if you say, and the example I used this morning already was Hamlet. So is it more effective to read Hamlet or to watch Kenneth Branagh on the film of Hamlet? Good morning. And the answer to that would seem to be pretty obvious, that watching Branagh on film would be more effective. And then I say, okay, well, how about, what's the difference between a movie and a play? Because the performance aspect versus the static page becomes a significant question then. And you say, and oh yeah, by the way, it's going to be the local middle school production of Hamlet against Kenneth Branagh's movie production of Hamlet. And if you haven't really grasped the difficulty here, then what if we compared the local middle school's production of Hamlet to the Royal Shakespearean Company's production of Hamlet? And it rapidly becomes apparent that the difference is not in the text, which was the point to begin with. The difference is not in the content of the play, which is the point of the significant difference research, the media comparison studies. The point is the production values make more difference than the encoding. So if I watch the movie with Branagh, or I watch the Handycam movie from the middle school, what's going to be more effective at the message, whatever it might be, because there's a lot of different ways to approach Hamlet. And the answer, as soon as I add that little bit in, the answer is, you know, maybe the Brahna solution isn't the right one either. Because if what I want to do is to study the way Shakespeare used language, it's one thing to hear someone who understands how to say the language say it and perform it. It's another one altogether to have the opportunity to sit with the actual text in front of me so that I can see where the syllables fall in the line, or I can see where the various components of the poetry, the meter, fall in the stanza. And we're back to the idea that perhaps reading it off the page is more effective, which puts the last piece of this into play, which is we really can't judge efficacy unless we start dealing with purpose. So maybe watching Brana, maybe watching the middle school kids will tell us more. Depends on what we want to see. Maybe reading it from the page is the right way, depending on what we want to learn. So this idea of media comparison studies and spending millions of dollars on them, and we still do it every day. There's still more people who want to do it. It's the single most important piece of research that classroom teachers say they want. And I understand why. But it's sort of like saying, I really want to have a magic bullet. And I've said on this podcast more than once, we've already got a bucket full of magic bullets. What we don't have is a magic gun. So, yeah. I need to redo that for the kids. The four adults who are in my class. So maybe I'll take an extra walk around the park after I get back. Maybe I'll just call it good. Maybe I'll just clip that bit out and package it for the students. That's a thought. If I can find it. Anyway. So, what a gorgeous morning. It's going to be hot. I didn't mow the lawn over the weekend. It really needs it. I got this old gray collie coming. What a good old dog. Very alert. Very old. You can tell because the gray in the muzzle. It's a beautiful sunny morning. Crystal clear day. I could use 10 degrees fewer temperature, but that's okay. Good morning. Birds are singing. I don't know if you can hear them on this new mic, but birds are singing. People out walking dogs. Grass is turning brown here in the field. Seed heads are all getting heavy and falling over now. It's still green at the base, but the seed heads are ready to spread their seeds. I don't see any sign of foliage change yet, but it won't be long. It seems funny to say that, half past July, but I started noticing it last year in August, so we're in the height of the summer, perhaps just past the peak. Things are beginning to wind down maybe a little, although there's still a lot of heat left in the summer, still a lot of meat left in this nut. Out doing his morning lap, probably 13, getting ready for track season. Keep going, kid. keep going. And here I am. 19-minute mile. So I made it around. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and I'll talk to you then.